verses 19 through 20. Isaiah 53 and 5. And John 19 and 20. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where do you go when life is uncertain? At times, it can be difficult to work through the cognitive dissonance that shows up when you know you heard the Lord say everything was going to be all right, but at the moment, it's not all right. At the moment, it's a little turbulent at best. At the moment, things are not going well. Today, what I want to do in the balance of time that I have before you is to take a look at the response of not only Jesus, but his closest followers after his resurrection to see how we handle difficult moments in life. And in Isaiah 53 and 5, I'll start by reading this one in the New King James Version. I'll be going back and forth between New King James and New Living Translation, and I will let you all know prayerfully when I switch between. But we'll start in the New King James for Isaiah 53 and 5. And it says, but he, referring to Jesus, was wounded. Someone say he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Someone say and type in, by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. And I don't want you to limit this to simply a surface healing either. Any part of your life, whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically, whether it's financially, that needs to be healed, by his stripes, you were healed. Let's go to John chapter 20, verses 19 through 20. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 20. And this is after Jesus raised from the dead. Now word is going out that there's possibly a conspiracy theory that the disciples have stolen the body of Jesus. And in that conspiracy theory, it created a level of fear and uncertainty for the disciples who, in no wrongdoing of themselves, are on the run. And it says in verse 19, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of Jewish leaders. Suddenly, someone say suddenly. Suddenly. And that's how the Lord shows up, suddenly. Jesus was standing there among them. He says, peace be with you. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. The title of today's message is Healed Wounds. Healed Wounds. Heavenly Father, I submit to you today. I desire to only speak what you want me to speak. I desire to say only what you want me to say. Have your way in our time together. Lord, I thank you that just as the disciples were in earnest expectation for you to arrive, you suddenly appeared. So today, wherever any person is under the sound of my voice, you are suddenly appearing to each of us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's some things that stood out to me in reading this text. Number one, we see that Jesus appeared post the resurrection with a new body, able to do new things. It was created brand new and not bound by space nor time. But with that brand new body that was given to him undoubtedly by the Creator, who is God and he is God, one thing that the Creator did not omit in this new body was the wounds he experienced from a traumatic event of his past. And what tends to happen from time to time, for the sake of faith, we try to deny that what took place in our past didn't affect us when, quite honestly, It did. And the Savior shows us that even as the one who raised from the dead, as the last Adam, that he maintained the wounds that came as a result of living life here on this earth. But what we want to notice is that the wound that he had wasn't infected. The wound that he had still wasn't bleeding. The wound that he had was healed. So we're going to have wounds. But the question is, are we allowing them to heal properly? But undoubtedly, these disciples, in a matter of a week, went from feeling, a week and a half, went from being on top of the world. As they were coming through Bethany, everyone was singing their praises, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And just in culture and in sports, or if you all have ever seen like celebrities, they've got a posse around them. And some people don't even need to be the celebrity. They just need to be the one that's a part of the posse. They want to let you know that they know the famous person that they're walking with and taking selfies with, and they don't even know. They just like being in the area. And these young disciples, I guarantee, were the same way when the... The praises were coming out saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. It reminds me of a story. I probably told this 3 or 4 times, but I'm going to keep telling it every time I think about it. Have I ever told y'all about the story about when the donkey who was carrying Jesus had an interview after he walked through Bethany? Have I ever told y'all about that story, about his interview? So when I guess it was one of the tablet media outlets over in the Middle East went up to the donkey, and they asked the donkey, they said, you know, what was that experience like for you? And the donkey said, you know, quite honestly, it was the best day of my life, hands down. He said, I put one foot in front of the next, one hoof, next hoof, and I kept on going. And every time I put one hoof down, they started crying, Hosanna. Every time I put another hoof down, they started crying, Hosanna. He said, I'm feeling it today. And the interviewer said, You can fill in the blank. It's not you, it's the one who's riding you. And it reminds us that the glory that we get is not us, it's the one who's in us. But anywho, the disciples, fierce elation, but in a tale of 2 weeks, immense depression. I don't know if you've been there where life out of nowhere jerks the slack out of you. And you were minding your own business. Now, y'all know when life jerked the slack out of us and we were cutting up. But what about when life jerks the slack out of us and we were doing what we were supposed to do? So now there's the temptation to allow what was out of their control to define their position toward God. It created a fresh wound within them, and they undoubtedly were in a different place. It was a custom in that time to mourn for 7 days when you lost someone that you truly love. And if we look back at verse 19 of John chapter 20, the phrase I want to first pull out is, they were behind locked doors because they were afraid. And I want to submit for your careful consideration the notion that though we read of a physical door bolted shut, I believe that we're also getting an inside look into what's going on within the grieving disciples. Through no direct action of their own, they are now being trapped by the fear due to their calloused hearts. What are you saying? Now, that's a wide stretch. I don't know how you got that. Well, I pulled out another gospel. So if you can flip over to Mark chapter 16 and verse 14. And so if you notice, multiple gospels, back in the day, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have cameras, so they had a written account. And so when you see gospels giving you a redaction of an event that took place from different authors, you're getting different angles. And so John, being one of the disciples, let me tell you something about us humans. We're not going to really tell the whole truth. So you need someone from the outside looking in to say, okay, let me give you another angle, because there's some pieces that he omitted. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 14, it says, still later, he, being Jesus, appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And if I had more time, I would talk about the gender issues inside of the church because it was the women who saw him first. But we're not going to talk about that because that's not the message for today. What we are going to talk about is that they did not believe, even though they heard that Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. And so it teaches us a very, very, very important lesson that we need to be mindful from allowing griefs to form our beliefs. Grief is not simply talking about loss of a loved one, loss of a job. It's change in any way. We have to be mindful from allowing the changes in our life and in this world to then dictate how and who we believe. And so because of what they experienced, they were afraid. They were hidden. They were blocked off. Proverbs 4:23 in the New Living Translation says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And to bring it all together, the Hebrew word for heart in Proverbs chapter 4 are the words leb and lebab. Leb and lebab, both meaning door. Leb refers to what you allow in the door. Lebab means what you allow out the door. So if we're taking my assumption that I presented to you and applying it to this particular text, they were blocking out what God was trying to get in. But something about Jesus, no matter how many times you try to run from him, he is not bound by all the little devices that you put up to keep him away. He is still going to come find you and tell you that I promised to do exactly what I said I was going to do. And the first thing that he said to his disciples is not, "O ye of little faith." Because when you're hurting, you don't need a lesson on theology. When you're hurting, you need someone to love you. You need someone to tell you that it's okay. And so he said, "Peace be with you." They needed to hear that even though I may have let the one who never let me down, he still made sure that I was found. He still made sure that I was taken care of. He still made sure to show up and prove to me that he's going to do exactly what he said that he was going to do. So now we have Jesus showing up saying, "Peace be with you," which means may God not only bless you, but may God cause it to be well with you. I need to talk about this for somebody right here, whether you're in person or watching at home. You've been trying to cause it to be well with you, and you haven't had any peace. Well, I came to let you know that here suddenly today, you are going to see and have a revelation of how good God is. Come on, somebody, talk to me this morning. God is so good. Let me tell you, I told myself I wouldn't share. This is a personal thing that God is doing in my life. What you all are seeing is a miracle. This church started on Easter 4 years ago, and here we are 4 years later. But this same exact time last year, the same exact day was the day, come on somebody, the day my wife and I found out that we were having our second miscarriage after a period of time that the doctors gave us in order to conceive naturally. They said if it doesn't happen on this time, it will not happen a natural way. And I remember on that day, we had to get ready for a church service the next day. And everything in me said I needed to just be at home and just cry and mope and weep. And I remember my wife standing up and saying, "We are not going to slow down." And it was happening inside of her body. And so I can remember that next day, we got up and stood in front of that very camera without any person in a room because we were still on lockdown. And we preached that God is good going through the fight of our life. I can remember the instructions we got from our mentors saying, "Listen, when you're in the fight of your life, give it every single thing that you have." And my wife, we gave it every single thing that we had, and it didn't work. Can you still keep going when you feel like what you gave was all you had, knowing that when you keep going, there's more in the tank? So we get caught up in this faith that just looks so clean cut and pretty, and I prayed so it happened. Sometimes it don't when you think it will, and you still have to say, yet God, I still believe. So I'm standing today, 4 years after our first Easter, 3 years after our last Easter, not only in person, but also online, preaching that God is good, because 1 year ago, we lost a pregnancy, and today my wife is beyond full term for our son naturally. Come on. So we have to understand this principle. The title of today's message is Healed Wounds, but I need you to understand that healed wounds heal wounds. Healed wounds heal wounds. God has something for you to do, and you can't give up on what he's asking just yet. I can tell you, everybody was giving me all the, and they were giving us all of the famous words, you know, listen, I had a friend who had the same thing happen, and it's going to be okay because, you know, God, don't nobody want to hear that. Ain't got no time, like, you know, it's going, because the reality is, I can't see it. I understand, I can't see it. And so that's why God has to show up in a way that's undeniable, because we can speak all this hope. And my job as a pastor is to give you the hope, but keep nudging you to see God for yourself. I want you to have an experience that nobody can take away from you. I want you to have an experience that no one can tell you otherwise. I want you to know for yourself, it's not even because of you that you have what you have today, but it's because of his. I want you to know that. Healed wounds, heal wounds. Someone say and type in, heal wounds, heal wounds. So in verse 20, he spoke and he showed them the wounds in his hand and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. You understand that we lose joy when we lose sight of what God has done in our life. And for the balance of my time, I want you to think about your anchor story. I want you to think about that one testimony. That one story that when you've lost all the natural will to put one foot in front of the other, you go back to this. See, I'm a pastor before I do anything else. There's so many things God has graced me to do in this earth, and I'm so grateful to him for that. But my heart is pastoring. My heart is the outlet, and I'm looking at different members that I see in here and who I know who are online. And I know your story and from whence you came and what God has done and how he made a way when there wasn't a way and you don't know how. But the life that you're walking in, you don't even understand how it could even be possible. But what happens is, our natural human inclination is to forget about what he did and be mad about what we think he should have done. And so there's stages of belief, and John chapter 20 goes through all of them, and I'm going to highlight the other two stages of belief that we've passed over in today's message. In verse 5, after they heard that Jesus was alive, Peter and John were racing to the tomb, and Peter, according to John, I mean, listen, John, he has a whole lot of omissions here, but according to John, John says that Peter saw the empty tomb. The word he used there was a Greek word, and it's important to get these Greek words here. The Greek word for saw is the word blepo, B-L-E-P-O, blepo. It means quick glance, nothing significant. Okay. Cool. That's cool. John says he saw, but he used another Greek word. And this Greek word is literally spelled like my favorite cookie, the Oreo. T-H-E-O-R-E-O, the Oreo. You'll never forget this Greek word as long as you live, the Oreo. It's literally, and it sounds, I checked it. It said the Oreo. And I said, I hear you, Lord. You're talking. You're telling me. I'm so kidding. I got a couple fitness people out there. I'm kidding. I don't eat one Oreo. Who does that? If it was more like the Oreos. They gonna get me on the interwebs. All right. The Oreo means he didn't take a quick glance. He went in, he looked, and he began to handle it, but he couldn't understand it. When we get down to John chapter 20 and verse 20, when he says they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord, there's a third Greek word, eidon. It combines all the other two and adds to it where they see the Lord, they were able to investigate or handle the Lord, but then all of a sudden were able to understand. All of a sudden were able to have a visible experience. And what God wants you to do, sometimes you don't even recognize the miracle that you're sitting in. Sometimes you don't even recognize what God is doing because you're busy complaining about it should have looked some way different, but God is the whole time doing what you prayed for, and you just got to hold it long enough until you sit back long enough and you think about what God promised and what you prayed and how the manifestation of your prayers are a result of your words. You are walking in the manifestation of what you've been saying. Every bit of it. You've been putting down your job, that's why you don't like it. Putting down your spouse, that's why you don't like them. Complaining about life, that's why you don't like it. You are eating the fruit of your words. So if you want to change your diet, change what you're saying. When they saw the Lord actually meant something all the more to them, because you got to understand that the chapter and verse breakdown was put in by those who were translating the Bible at a later time. This is all one continuous letter, or this is all one continuous conversation, or one continuous thought, and that's how you study the Bible. The Bible doesn't need a commentary for you to understand it. The Bible will interpret itself. Quite honestly, you need a good theologian to help confuse you about what the Bible is trying to say. So this is all one continuous letter. And he goes on in verse 21, and he's giving us the active ingredients to heal our wounds. He said, "Peace be with you." And when they saw and they handled and they understood, there was joy. So peace and joy are the active ingredients to your healing. You have a wound, you need peace. You have a wound, you need joy. Peace, joy, peace, joy. So let's build for a moment. Because you can function in life, but that doesn't mean you're doing well in life. You can be a high performer, and high performing doesn't mean doing well holistically. You need peace and joy. This is necessary for them to be healed, because earlier I said, healed wounds do what?
Heal wounds.
He needs them to now take the experience they've had and share it with others. This is, as we're going in 2 weeks, our church will turn 4 years old. As we're going into our fifth year, I am coming to this church now and saying, we're not going to be the church that just preach you happy and we do nothing. And you specifically, You, I'm talking to you. Yes, you. You. You don't do anything for your family, community, and the world around you. You don't know how much word you know until you have to use it. You could think you a people person by yourself. You ain't realize how much stuff you had to deal with when you were single, getting married. Like, where did that come from? I thought I was healed. Yeah, for you. You used to your dysfunction. Oh, don't pull me out here right now. Y'all know good and well. It's Easter Sunday. I'm trying to have a nice message and get y'all out before the Baptists make it to brunch. Don't do this. A later date. Because there's something I want to get to you all today. But this is important because he needed to send them out. And this is Jesus still fulfilling prophecy of appointing successors. So a successor is one who takes the place of the one who was there before. And so Jesus did not have judgment for them because of bad behavior, but he wanted to heal them to then go into the world and let others know that they're not judging them for their bad behavior, but they need to be healed. Just like you cannot run a marathon on a broken leg, it's hard to love well on a broken heart. God has to heal your heart in order for you to live well. But verse 22, something took place that was so powerful. Verse 22, it says in John chapter 20, then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Verse 22, in the brief words of then he breathed on them and said, was more powerful than I originally gave it credit for. When you look at it, it's like, so what's important about Jesus breathing and saying? This is not talking about him simply inhaling, exhaling, and saying something. What that moment was for those disciples was him fulfilling every last promise he put on record throughout the entire book of John. When he breathed on them and said, he was saying, for anyone who feels alone, I am there, John 14 and 16, verse 17 and 27. He said, for anyone who feels abandoned, I accept you. That's John 14, 18 and 19 through verse 22. He says, for anyone who feels troubled, overwhelmed, or looking for peace, I will be your peace, your joy, and your strength. John 14, 27, John 20, 19 and 21, John 16, 20 through 24, and John 20 and 20. He was saying in that one phrase, for anyone who feels they need another chance, I will give you a fresh start, fulfilling the promise from John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8, and verse 20, or chapter 20 and 20, chapter 20 and verse 22. He also was saying, for anyone who feels like their calling is too difficult, I will empower you, fulfilling a promise he made in John 15, 26, and 27. What I love about Jesus, he ain't keep them long. He said what he had to say, but he fulfilled everything he said he was going to do. And I came to speak at your life. If you saw yourself in any one of those categories, today he's speaking life to you and saying, whatever you need me to be right now, I am. But I'm not going to just preach y'all a happy message and not keep it real with you. And I'm glad that John in this account kept it real with us. Because in verse 24, we get introduced to Thomas. And he was also known as what for you Bible scholars? Doubting Thomas. Mm-hmm. Again, remember I told y'all that we don't really tell on us. Guess who else was doubting too? All the other disciples. They ain't say nothing. Exactly. They ain't say nothing. They happened to leave that out of the official record. Everybody doubted. Wasn't just Thomas. But Thomas kept it real. Because in hearing all this, there's somebody I'm talking to right now that you still got questions about your own situation. I hear what everybody's saying. I hear what's happening in other people's lives. I'm celebrating everybody, but I got some real questions. So in verse 24, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. So he said, that's for y'all. I need something for me. And they told him, we've seen the Lord. But he replied, okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. But I won't believe it unless I see the nail, unless I handle the nail to understand. And wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side. And sometimes Thomas gets a bad rap. But if Thomas really had a bad rap, Christ would have corrected Thomas in that moment. In fact, he didn't correct Thomas's question. He answered Thomas's question and gave him proof so that way he wouldn't doubt. So whatever question you have, get honest with the Lord and talk about, this is my question. Now let me see you for myself. See, Thomas was asking to see what Christ was already willing to show him. And so 8 days later, verse 26, the disciples were together again. And this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. And he says, peace be with you. Gave him the same peace. May it be well, and may God cause it to be well with you. Verse 27, then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands, at my healed wounds. And put your hand into the wound in my side, my healed wound. And don't be faithless any longer. Simply believe. And what Thomas then exclaimed, he had no other questions. My Lord and my God. Historical data and record shows that Thomas then, from this moment and in this time, for the balance of his life, went to the region of India and was responsible for carrying the gospel to the region of India. And some believe that he even got certain kings to convert from Hinduism to Christianity, because he got his question answered. Some of you are paralyzed in your mission because you have questions that you're too afraid to ask God, and he's ready to answer them for you. And understand that when he gives you an answer, it's not going to be the answer you want. Stop trying to make God say what he ain't say. Either he said it or he didn't, but he don't lie. And nor does he need to change his mind. So if the Lord said it, then it's going to come to pass. But Jesus tells us and tells him in verse 29, you believe because you've seen, you've handled, you've touched. But blessed are those who believe without having to physically. Come on, that's faith. I don't need to physically see it before I believe it. I believe it, God, because you said it. And the word tells us in Revelation 12 and 11, because healed wounds heal wounds. So they overcame him, speaking of Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the what? Word of their testimony. And they, here's the other part, and I'm so glad Melissa pointed this out. Melissa Littleton, did y'all enjoy the worship team today? Amen. So glad, so grateful for you today. We were talking before service and she said, and don't forget the last line. Because we say we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We got to end. They did not love their lives to the death. I received a testimony yesterday from one of our partners at the Outlet Community, Summer Hill Community Ministry, led by Emmanuel and Justina Dix. And I want to read this testimony to you, because this is the example of what the church is called to be in the world. And so Justina wrote, I want to share this update on one way the outlet's donation to the Forest Cove families was used. And for those who were not around, a couple of months back, we went out to the Forest Cove homes that are adjacent to the prison, not too far from here. Federal housing that is completely dilapidated. Some of you may have seen in the news that Mayor Dickens, as well as Invest Atlanta councilmen, have been a part of this effort to relocate families without displacing them and causing the students to be disrupted in their school. Can I say that that's a result of, partly in result to those two individuals that are sitting in this room today? And so just to give you that update. That is why we have to be in the community more than just Sunday and having a good time and shouting about. Listen, God blesses you so that you could be a change in the world that you're in. That is the reason why we have the gospel. And so she wrote, one of the mothers, Crystal, who Pastor Vince met when he visited Forest Cove a couple months ago, reached out to me about the home in her floor. She has 8 children. She has already fallen through the hole in the floor of her apartment and was physically hurt from the fall. Since then, the hole has gotten worse, and one of the children fell through the hole. At that point, rats began coming up through the hole and into the apartment. Come on. You think you got problems. And this family's already deplorable living situation became even more difficult. In tears, Crystal expressed how hard it is for her to keep her 2 younger children, ages 2 and 3, from going into the living room where the entire floor is about to collapse because of the decay. This definitely tugged at my heart, imagining them having to live each day in their small apartment with these issues. And so as a good wife, she said, I asked Emmanuel, her husband, if he could take a look at the apartment and see if anything could be done to patch up the floor until they move out on July 15th, which is the date the mayor and other city officials have given to the residents as their relocation date. When Emmanuel saw the condition of the living room, he was taken aback. There was a hole in the middle of the floor, and he was afraid to walk on the outskirts of the floor because it could clearly cave in with any given step. He looked down into the hole and saw a lot of black sludge, rat feces, and slime, and the smell was unbearable. Emmanuel went straight to the rental office to make them aware, and it just so happened the building maintenance man was in the office as well. He had a very nice conversation with him, and they walked back over to the apartment to take a look. The maintenance man said that she did report it months back, but it was going to cost too much money to repair it, and he admitted that since then it's gotten a lot worse, and he was surprised. The maintenance man was surprised at how bad it was. But Emmanuel says there's no way he could leave them in that state. This was definitely not in our Summerhill budget, but along with some of the funds that the outlet donated for the Forest Cove families, we were able to purchase sheets of plywood, 2x4s, and other materials to help build up the floor to make it more sturdy and more safe. And so Emmanuel put down some of the flat boxes we had on top of the sludge. And Emmanuel had to get under the floor in order to put wood to build the foundation of the floor back up. He was able to do a temporary fix that will last them past July 15th. The father of Crystal's younger children was there. And he expressed how much he wanted to help, but he broke his leg and he was on crutches. Crystal's oldest son, Dexter, age 16, ended up being a great help to Emmanuel as he handed him materials and tools needed while being under the floor. They were so very appreciative and kept thanking the Lord. And we want to thank the Outlet Community Church for all of the support to the Forest Cove families and the Pitts family. This is why we get healed, to help heal others. And I just want to thank you, Emmanuel and Justina, for your work in the community, because it takes all of us working together to affect real change. Healed wounds heal wounds.